Just know that. Father, for your glory, speak to your people right now. Cause them to realize what you would have them to realize. I will do all that I can to give them the best that you have given to me. But you have already given me peace to understand. It is on them to hear the rest of the story. As they come to you, I pray that they will come to you and that they will say, this is what Bishop said, Lord, reveal to me more that you have for me personally, and that they will do that. As I have done so many different times when I go before men of God that I know are worthy of listening to. Now bless this congregation with the words that you've given me that they may hear and they may obtain revelation. In Jesus' name, amen. Who wrote the book of Revelation? Who was John called? What was his name? He was called two words, the and be. It's the beloved. He was beloved. Why was he beloved? And he got revelation from God. In our offering, you said a word down there. We believe the Lord and for blessings increasing. And what?
Revelations.
Revelations. Revelations from God. Now I'm going to give you an indication of what revelations from God is also about today. I wanted to mention John's name because John is beloved. And I want you to think, why is he beloved? And I'm going to give you a possible reason why he was beloved. A most certain reason as to why. But let us go to the beginning for what this thing, Share Life, is. Notice I wear it on my arm. It's a band that says Share Life. And on the shirt, it is Share Life. And you've seen everyone with it. This is the day we're starting the program for you to understand your purpose in life is to share life. People will question, well, share life, what is this? This is some kind of pro-life thing. Yes, it is pro-life, but it is not pro-life in dealing with babies. It is pro-life in dealing with real life. It's not anti-abortion, but yes, it is anti-abortion, but it's not about abortion. It is about life. In the beginning is the where we're going to study. For God does everything and reveals everything in the beginning. We look at this in Genesis 2 and 16. I want to show you something. In Genesis 2 and 16, the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. So here we see what I've stated many different times. Adam and Eve were given a choice. Verse 16 says, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. So how many trees do they have to eat from? All of them. Free to eat of any tree. All of them. Any. He didn't have trees they couldn't eat from. He gave them an abundance of trees that they could eat from. He gave them the whole garden of everything. That tells us what God's will for us is that we have an abundance of things. That's God's will in the beginning, that we have all that we need, more than we need. And then he says one thing here, and he says, verse 17, he says, but you must not eat from the tree, not the trees, but one thing I don't want you to do. And that's to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One specific thing, you got all this stuff you can do, but there's one thing I don't want you to do. And the results of doing that one thing, he says, for when, notice the key word, for when you eat of it, you will what? Now, let me ask you something just by deduce this from reasoning, simple reasoning. He says, you must not eat from it, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. Then he says, when you eat, you die. Had Adam eaten at this time?
No.
So if he had not eaten at that time, what was the state of Adam? Was he going to die?
No.
Wow, just by simple reasoning, he says that when you eat, you will surely die. In other words, I created you not to die.
Yes, amen.
And you can eat of all these trees and you'll never die. But if you eat of this one tree here, and he didn't even say you'd never die. He didn't even mention death. Except when you do something against what I say, you will die. I'm giving you everything you can do. Inherent in you may eat of all the trees in the garden, meaning you may eat and live and live and live and live and live and eat and live and eat and live and eat and live and live. But of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you must not eat of it, because if you eat of that, you will surely die. In other words, Adam was created to live forever. That's the state God wanted man in, to live forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's what he created us for, to live eternally. He said, but if you eat of this tree, you do something that I tell you not to do, you will die. From that, we find out what life is all about. He was given freedom to eat and you live. But you do this one thing, you die. So I give you this summary from that, what we've got. Real life is contingent upon living in agreement with the word of God. If you do what God says do, you will live. If you do what God says not to do, you will die. Put it in another way, Adam was going to have eternal life, which is the will of God, if he just simply done what God said. If you will agree with me, Adam, and you eat of all these other trees, but don't eat of this one, you're going to live. And guess what? You're going to live with all this prosperity I got, because that's my will for you. But if you do something I tell you not to do, you're going to die. So this is important. Real life for you as a choice, as Adam and Eve had a choice, is contingent upon you living in agreement with the word of God. Agree with God, you'll live. Disagree with God, you'll die. Agree with God, you'll have life. Do something different than what God tells you to do, you die. Do you understand that? Think about it. Everything that God created in the very beginning is still existing. Everything he created in the beginning, still existing. You know why it's still existing? Because it never challenged God. The sun is still shining. Ain't never died. You know why it ain't never died? Because God said, let there be light, and the sun ain't never turned itself off. If the sun ever turned itself off, the sun would die. The moon is still in the sky. Ever since we've been here, the sun, the moon, the stars, all of them are doing what God said to do. And guess what? They still living. And for a general sense, you know this, if it hadn't been for man on the earth, birds didn't disobey him. God say fly, they still fly. The only reason they die is because some knuckleheaded man decided to go against God and everything on the earth got cursed. Now, see, have you ever seen a bird go against God and try to get in the water and swim through the water? Birds are still doing what God said. Have you ever seen a fish try to get out the water and fly? Fish are still in the water. And you know what? If it hadn't been for man, fish that were here in the very beginning would still be here. Birds would still be here, and Adam and Eve would still be here, and chances are we would be here.
Yes, sir.
But it's man going against God that brought death in the world. And understand, that is something that was established, that if you do what God tells you to do, you will live. If you go contrary to what God says to do, you will die. Lock that in your head. Lock that in your head, because life is contingent upon living in agreement with the word of God. If you agree with the word of God, you will live. Another way of putting this is that doing what God says to do means life. Look at that. Say it. Say it. See it up on the board and read it. Doing what God says to do means life. Think about it. Adam, you're free to eat all these trees. And as long as you do what I tell you to do, you eat of the trees I tell you to eat, you're going to live. But in the day you eat of the tree I tell you not to eat of, you do something I tell you not to do, you're going to die. Which gives us the next thing. Doing what God says not to do means death. Look at those two phrases for a moment. Doing what God says to do means what? Doing what God says not to do means what? Do it again. Give me the first one. Doing what, say it to me. Doing what God says. And the opposite. Now I want to cause you to think for a minute. Let's reverse the statements and see that it's also true. Not doing what God says to do. Give me the first one. Not doing what it says. Doing what God says to do means life. If I put a not, not doing what God says to do means, no. Yeah, you already did. You caught me, Charles. Go, bro. You with me. Not doing what God says to do would then mean what? Yeah. Now, don't give them the answer next time, Charles. Let them figure it out. Because I wanted to see if they with me. Doing what God said. Don't give them the answer. Let them think for a minute. See, that's your canter back there. He's the one that's giving you words, but I want them to think. So now let me find one. Take it off the board, Charles. Put it on me. Give it to me. All right, y'all, think. Let's see if we got this down. Not doing what God says to do means what?
Yeah.
Doing what God says to do means?
Right.
Check this. Not doing what God says not to do means?
Yeah.
Listen. Not doing what God says not to do means?
Right.
So in other words, God say don't do it and you don't do it, it will mean? If God says do it and you don't do it, it means
yes.
Doing something that God says to do means
yes.
Doing something that God says not to do means
yes.
I just want you to get that locked in here because there's four conditions. I do what God says to do, it means
yes.
I do what God says not to do means say it again, Pat. Well, you give me the double contradiction. Is that what you're talking about? I'm not that. I'm not being English correct. Not doing what God says not to do. Not doing, if I don't do it. See, you go in English grammar. I ain't playing grammar. I'm playing sense. If I don't do what God tells me not to do. Wait, I'm getting confused. You're making me confused. I don't do what God says do, not to do, means that's life. That's right. I don't do what he said. That means life. Did I miss it in there? I know that's right, but did I miss it the other time? You say I did. They say I didn't. If you don't do what God says to do, you die. If you do what God says to do, you live. If you do what God says don't do, you die. If you don't do what God says don't do, you live. Now that's what I thought I was saying. But I'm saying it in a convoluted way, so you have to stop and think. I have a reason why I do what I do. That's why I say see things as they are, now see things as they are. Don't you learn I talk backwards? Don't you learn if you read God's word, he talks the same way? You got to stop and think about this stuff. Now the reason I'm giving you that is because it's vitally important that you begin to understand the simplicity of it. Of what I said in the first two statements. Doing what God says to do, give it Charles, means life. Doing what God says not to do means death. So the reverse of the others, of those statements, is what we were going for. Now, I want to show you some substantiation of what God's word says. In Deuteronomy in the 8th chapter and the first verse. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase. So doing what God says to do, following every command, means you will what? And what? And increase. I got you live and not die. That's good too. But I want you also to understand something. With the word God says live and increase, that means he wants you doing more than just living. Amen. You Christian folk are living. But what you're supposed to do is increase. Amen. As well as live. Right. Notice his word. If you do what I tell you to do, you will live and increase. What was his original desire? Of all the trees I've created, you're free to eat. In other words, do what I say. You got all the trees. Increase. Tremendous abundance by simply being obedient. Now watch it. I want you to hear it. Careful to follow every command I'm giving you so that you may live. Doing what he says causes you to live. But not only does it cause you to live, continuing to do what he says causes you to increase. This is where you got to get it. Guiding light must get this, because we can't change our city, we can't change our state until you start increasing. And the only way you're going to increase is to keep on living by doing what God says to do.
Right.
And God will reward you because you've been faithful in a few, and he will make you rule over many. I'm sick and tired of y'all just staying where you are. Every one of you all is created to excel. God created you that if you will obey him, he will cause you to live and increase. He will cause you to be blessed by doing what he tells you to do and then increase you. Notice his word. If you're careful to follow every command I'm giving you, he said, do this so that you may live and increase. Increase means get better. If you just own that same job, making the same amount of money, and your life ain't improving, you ain't doing what God has commanded you to do.
Amen. Amen.
So you need to be looking at your life and say, something ain't right. I'm supposed to be increasing.
Yes.
God intends for you to increase in your life. That's what he desires. But it's contingent upon real life. It's contingent upon your obedience to the word of God. So I want you to increase. That's what God said. But the way you increase is by following my commands. Living is not just enough. I just don't want to live. I want to increase. Can I get anybody that want to increase with me? Don't settle for being a Christian and not increasing. Young folk, every day should be a day that you increase in some kind of way, because that's God's will for your life. Don't be settling for being like everybody else. In your mind, get your mind set. Every day, my day gonna get better and better and better. Every day is a better day. One more day with Jesus is better than the one before.
Yes, sir.
Everybody needs to be dissatisfied with the status quo. You don't want to stay where you are. You want to grow. That's what God created you for. You don't let the world condition you. Here, this your box. Stay in this box. You don't fit in the box. You were created to excel outside of the box. God created you to increase in this land. And if all you're doing is living like the rest of the world, you got it all messed up. You need to understand God has given you power to increase. And I'm going to give you the answer so you can get there too.
Yes, sir.
But I got to show you things along the way as we get there. He says, say, I want to give you the land. Notice that you enter and possess the land that the Lord, now notice, promised. He promised them the land, right?
Amen.
Now you say, where you going with shared life? You just watch me. Watch me. He promised them the land. He promised them. He said, be careful. Now go to verse 8. Now watch this, because this is the trick. Verse 8. He says here.
Come on, Doc.
Well, no, it's not verse 8. What verse I need to go to? Got it in my notes. 3. I'm sorry. 3. You locked it in my head. Got it. He humbled you. Now, in the Hebrew, this says, he made life difficult for you.
Come on.
Now, back in verse 1, he said he promised it, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
In verse 3, he says he humbled you, which he made it difficult.
Yes.
He promised you something, but he made it hard.
Come on now.
There's stuff that you got promised by God in your life, but you got to understand it's going to be hard to get there. But notice who made it hard. He made it hard. And this is where a lot of Christians get off the boat. This can't be God. It must be another way. And if you don't go the way God said, and you get off the boat and go another way, then you walk into death, not life. There's something that seems like you need to do it your way, but the end of that way is death. Because only God's way is life. He humbled you. Now watch this. Now here comes another part. He caused you to hunger. What? You promised me this land. You made it difficult. Now you done got me hungry. What kind of God is it that sometimes it looks like I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills?
Yes,
what kind of God is it? I don't know whether I'm going to have a car to get to work tomorrow. What kind of God is it that's going to make it look like I don't even have a job? What kind of God is it that I don't know which way I'm going?
Yes, sir.
But the Bible said he humbled you.
Right.
What for, Lord? He said he made you hungry. Sometimes the thing that you thought you supposed to have, you ain't going to get it. God promised it, but it don't look like it's coming. It doesn't look like it's going to. Don't look like the marriage going to work. Don't look like that relationship going to get going on. Don't look like you going to have what you read in the Bible. Don't look like you're going to be healed.
Come on, Jesus.
But understand, it's God that's holding that thing.
Yes, sir.
Understand, it's God that got all the wealth in the world. You ain't got the money. You haven't come up with that invention. You ain't got that job. You ain't got that degree. You didn't pass that test.
Yes, sir. Come on, God. Yeah.
But it say God humbled you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Caused that thing to happen. Why? He say, this is gonna go past all that. He say, and feeding you with manna, which neither you your fathers know, to teach you. In other words, when God said, I caused you to hunger, but I fed you in the process.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I caused you to lose your car. Maybe you lost your house, but I still kept you sheltered.
Yes, sir.
You didn't pass the test, but you know what? You still got through the grade. You're still living. The doctors say you're going to die, but you know, you thought you were going to die, but somewhere in there, you're still living.
Yes,
I did all that.
Yes, sir.
I did it all. Why I do it? To teach you that you don't live by bread alone, but to teach you that you live on my word, on every word I got to say.
Yes, sir.
It ain't about what you see with your eyes. It's about what you hear with your ears. It's the word of God that gives you life. I gave you some hell in your life, so you learn it's all about me, and hell can't touch you when you got me. See, sometimes we go through something and we get to go through, this must not be God. It ain't happening like it's supposed to happen. So let me get out the way. And you step out when you don't do what God say you got to go through. You going to die. I caused you to hunger. I made life difficult because that was my plan. But if you go back to Egypt, because that's when it was good for you. Because that's in your mind the right thing to do. I need to get off this ship. I need to go because it's too hard this way. You die. We got a lot of dead folk. Because they don't know. But that's why Jesus said, I'm going to give you the truth. And I'm going to give you the truth. Get you free. Now hold on. So now, hold on for a minute because I want you to see that. Man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Now, that means this. If man lives by the word, teaching you to rely upon me, then this gives us this next summary. The word is life. Now, that's the first word. See the word life? The word is life. Watch this. Proverbs 4:20 says here, my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Why? Don't let them out your sight. Keep them within your heart. Why? For they are life. What is life? Is it, baby, you're my life. You're my everything. No. I got sunshine. on a cloud. No, that ain't it.
That ain't like it.
He said, my word's like, but rely upon us. We know what it is. I love what's fixing to happen Friday night. It's going down, y'all. It's going to be life. Lie.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Come on now. I ain't playing. Some of y'all been back there doing that day. You knew. And some of y'all still in that day.
Yes,
Friday night when the eagle fly, you know that little thing? That's the time we fixing to go get high. We fixing to have life.
Yes, sir.
Come on now. Don't be acting holy in here. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm on Facebook now. I know what y'all talking about. I see what you're doing. It's going down tonight. Come on, everybody. Come on around here. That ain't life. You think it's life, you deceive.
All right now.
But God say, my word, they are life and they are health to a man's whole body. Now, if his word is life, doing what God says to do gives you life and it means life abundantly. God doesn't want nobody to die. So God fix it up in this nice, easy way. John 1, it says this. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So he said his word is what? His word is what?
Life.
Okay, life and health, and that's fine. Cool, that means, but it's life, and it means life, living life, and increasing. If you do what God says to do, you will live and you will increase, right? Because his word is life, and it is increase. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Therefore, his word, when he gives you his word, he's actually giving you himself. That's why it's life. Because God is life. God says, I give you my word. Now watch it. I give you me. I am life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And because Adam had made a decision to go against God's word, God fixed it up so that everybody could have a choice. And in the 14th verse, he says, the word became flesh. Here's what happened. God, who is his word, that is life, who, I'll say it all again. God, who is his word, who is life, took all of what he was, packaged himself up in the form of a man, made himself as a man, and came to the earth and dwelled among us, and we have beheld, King James, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of, say, grace and truth. Who are we talking about?
Jesus.
Talking about Jesus right here, became flesh. God, who is his word, who is life, packaged himself up in the form of a man and came to the earth and walked among us so that we might know him and we might know life and we might know his word so that we might have life. And if we have life in him, we have life increasing. Therefore, Jesus says in John 10:10, he said, the thief came to steal and destroy. He said, but I came that you might have life. How? Because I am the word. And I am the life. I am God. And then he says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, who is the son, who is the word, who is the life, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God didn't want anyone to die, so he sent his son, who is the complete wrap up of all the word of God. All the word of God. Doing the word of God means what? Life. Not doing the word of God means what? So he took all his word, wrapped it up in the form of a man, let him walk among us so that we might be able to see him. Now, how did Adam screw up? He went contrary to the word of God.
Yes, sir.
He didn't accept the word of God. Therefore, if Jesus is the complete word of God, all wrapped up in the form of a man, for a person to do contrary to Adam and accept the word, all the word of God, all he has to do is accept Jesus, who is all the word of God.
Yes, sir. That's good, yeah.
And by accepting Jesus, he has accepted 100% of the word of God. How many have accepted Jesus?
Amen.
Now we know you have, so I just think for a minute. You know you have. I want to show you something. Now, how many of you folk that accepted Jesus done sin sometime? Now see, I just want you to know, see how I said that? I got better English than that. I say stuff, sir. How many of y'all done sinned? Now everybody's hand need to go up because you know, because you done sinned if you didn't raise your hand. Because you just done lied. Now we got a complication here. Here's the issue. You know what I mean? If you sin, you did something contrary to God. And if you do something contrary to God, you're supposed to die.
Right.
But if you do what God say to do, you live. Now, how is it that you can be a Christian and still sin? Are there some Christians out here still sin? Don't we still sin? Sometimes what y'all say, you don't want to say it, but you do.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You still got sin in your life.
Man.
And some sin... Sin don't jump on you and just whoop, there it is, I done sinned. Sin entice you.
Yeah. Come on.
Sin make you come at it.
Mm.
See, the devil didn't make her eat that fruit. The devil just didn't tell her, boop, put that in your mouth.
Mm-mm.
He made her want it.
Yes, sir.
I just need you to understand that sometime the devil gonna fix up some sin.
Yes, sir.
And it gonna look real good.
Right.
And it's gonna be some sin that you say, oh, Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive me, for I'm about to sin. And you're not going to be able to help yourself. And then after you have sinned, you're going to go and say, Lord, forgive me for having sinned against you. I couldn't help. The sin was so good. Look at it. See, some of y'all getting offended. But I'm going to tell you something. You done some sin. You didn't do it because the sin made you did it. You did it because you wanted to do it, because it looked good for you to do it. You thought it was the right thing to do. So don't mess with me. I ain't playing with you. Now, check this out. Now, what happens if I do what God say do? I got life. So now let me tell you something. If I accept Jesus, who is all of this, the rabbis tell us there's 613 laws and commandments that we're supposed to do in here. And nobody going to keep all of them. 613, but you know what? We all have made a mistake in there. But if Jesus is all this word, when I do sin, if I've accepted Jesus, in all this word, there's another thing in there. There's the law I violated, but there's something else in here about God called grace. So if I've accepted Jesus and all his word, then I have accepted the punishment for sin, because it's in his word, but in his word is also the grace that gives me the redemption from sin. So when I accept Jesus, I got in Jesus also the salvation from my sins, as well as the condemnation from my sin. So by accepting Jesus, I'm accepting 100% of the word of God, even though I do sin, because if I accept 100%, in here is a place for grace.
Right.
And mercy. All in Jesus. So anybody that says I'm going to do what God says to do without Jesus can't do it. It's going to die and it's going to perish. And as we say, going to go to hell. If you don't accept Jesus, who is the whole word of God, with accepting Jesus, you can't get the grace of God. Because in Jesus is the grace, the mercy, and the judgment of God. In Jesus is the life of God, because Jesus is the word of God. There's nobody else that is the word of God. So if you accept Jesus, you got everything. Even though you do sin, in Jesus, there is a place for your sin. What? Yes, it is. Because in Jesus, every sin you committed gets credited back to the cross.
Thank you, Lord.
All right.
Need to hear me.
Come on, God.
Some of you might go out here and sin tonight. Don't let the devil get you beat up over that sin. Because that sin that you did goes all the way back in God's book and goes to that cross. And guess what? When he hits that cross, gets paid for. And when God looks at you, he doesn't see no sin in you. Therefore, the Bible tells us this in Romans, I believe it is 8. There is now, therefore, no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. Where is that? Romans 8 and 1. No condemnation if we accept Jesus. So the word is life, and by accepting Jesus, we have life. And can't nobody take that life from us, because in him we survive. In him we live. In him we move. We have our being. Because he says, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. We have the opportunity to accept Jesus. Just like Adam had the opportunity to accept the word of God, every individual has the opportunity to accept the word and accept the life of God. Now, I want you to look at this for a minute. When they crucified Jesus, they thought they were going to kill him. You know why they couldn't kill him? Because he was life. You can't kill life. He was life before he died. He died for just a minute, if it was. He died, but he's life. So that says the same thing. If you got the word in you, you can't die. You got life. You've got eternal life. You've got eternal life that no one can take from you. John 3:16 says that. And notice this, verse 17. I got to hurry up and do this. Yes, I got to move on. I got it, but I love it. John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Jesus didn't come to point out your faults. He came to save you because he's all of God's word. By doing what God says to do means life. Jesus is God. He is the word of God. By accepting Jesus, you have done everything God says to do. And so he didn't come to condemn the world, but it says, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. So you are not condemned. So no matter what you do wrong, don't you ever worry about that. Hear me. You know why? Because it's covered in the blood. Now, that doesn't mean go out there and just do wrong. Because you got to have a willingness and a desire to try to do what God wants you to do. So here it is. Now, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. The only way that a person might be saved is that he completes all of the word of God. And the only way a person can complete all the word of God is to accept the one that has completed all the word of God. And in him he can live because he lives in by accepting Jesus. He's accepted all of this, even though he stumbles. But he stumbles, but the stumbling is covered in this book. Are you hearing me? I need to make it plain. Pat, am I getting across? Are you hearing it? Because I need you to hear it, to understand it. What needs to happen is that by accepting Christ, every sin that God has covered in this book is covered through Jesus. By accepting Jesus, whatever I do wrong is covered in the word, because Jesus is the whole word of God. But without Jesus, and I try to do right, I'm trying to be good, I can't do it because I'm missing something somewhere, and God's going to condemn me for missing it. Those who do not believe on the Son cannot be saved. Now remember, God so loved. Now we got down here on this shirt, John 3:36. I'm going to go to John 3:35 to give you the whole story so you can see it. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has what? Eternal life. Now watch this. How many believe in Jesus? If you believe in Jesus, you have believed in the complete total word of God. You have accepted the word of God that Adam rejected. Now you are alive. Notice he says, whoever believes in the Son, who is the word, who is life, who is God, whoever believes on him, a simple thing, just believing on him, you will live. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, means they will die. So everybody that has not accepted Jesus, go on, put your foot in it, mess it up. Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, all these other faiths, if they don't acknowledge Jesus as the Word of God, being God, they have rejected him. They have done something that God said, do not reject. That means they will not see life, save for the wrath of God remains on them. The folk that you see on your job, the friends that you have that have not accepted Jesus, have not confessed Jesus as Lord to get the complete word of God, God's wrath remains on them, and they will perish. They will die. Do you understand that? Let me see the hands of those that understand the folk that don't accept Jesus are going to die. They're going to perish. Now, let me tell you something. Everybody here pretty much got the hand up. Let me tell you something else now. I don't believe in a hell that's a burning hell. Yeah, I read too much of the Bible. Here's what I know, is that hell is the absence of God. And that's what makes it hell. And they describe it as hell because it's being away from God. How many got haters? Y'all got some haters in your life? I mean, everybody got haters. Imagine living with haters all the time. Imagine that you walk in a room and that's all you got is haters. You go home at night and the haters are waiting. Wherever you go, you sit down at the table to have a meal and the haters are there. You go to the bathroom and can't even close the door because the haters. That's called hell. And see, where there is no God, all you got is haters. Yes, sir. Do you want to live with some of these haters you got in your life? Some of them folk you don't even want to deal with. That's hell. Because God is not there. That's the worst kind of hell you can live in. Burning ain't about all of that, but it's about living in a place where demons are always tormenting you. And you know what demons are, because some of y'all know some of them. Now, folk that don't have Jesus are going to spend an eternity under demonic oppression. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came to them. Now, I want to show you something. God so loved the world. John 3:16, God so loved the world. He didn't want nobody to die, right? He didn't want nobody to die, did he? But he had to leave the earth. So this is what he said to the folk that were left. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Verse 19, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. This is before he went up into heaven. He said to the people who believed on him, go and make disciples. Now I want you to stop and think for a minute. John 3:16 said, God don't want nobody to die, right? And so he so loved the world, he gave his son. Then his son gave a command to every one of us. And that command is go do what? Make disciples. Didn't say go get them saved. It said make disciples. Don't get them converted. Make disciples. Don't get them happy. Don't get them hooping and hollering. Make disciples. You know what a disciple is? Teach them. Teach them the word of God. God, you're like, you've been taught. You ain't no hoopers and hollers that run around here and get all the whole and go home and the devil whip your behind. You the one got the word of God. When the devil came at Jesus, what did he go at Jesus with? Jesus didn't say, "Woo, hallelujah, praise God. Just the devil, I tell you what, you can't touch it." No, he said, this is what the word of God says. If you ever want to beat the devil, you got to use the word of God. God ain't like, you got the word of God. That's all you ever get around here. Now you got to start using that word so you can whip some devil. But the longer you sit down and let the devil keep coming at you, he going to come at you until you stand on the word you already know. The truth shall make you free.
Amen.
Now, here's the word that you need to hear right here. He told you to go and teach folk the word of God. And the word of God that you teach is life. You hold life in you. And you are supposed to go tell folk about the life in you. Amen. Now, watch me show you something else. This is going to piss you off. In Acts 1 and 8. Watch this. It says right here, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And as a result of the power of God, You will be witnesses. Now, some of y'all need to understand, if God so loved the world that he gave his only so that men might not die, and then he called you out and he gave you his Holy Spirit, he put his power in you. If his power is in you, and if he is in you, you got him in you, and he sent his son to die, and he had power so you can be a witness. If you ain't witnessing, maybe you ain't got him.
My Lord. My Lord.
Come on, get with me. If he sent his son, he loved so much, he died. And in the beginning, he created the universe and told Adam, you got all of this. He wanted Adam to live. And he sent his son so that other folk could live. Then he told you who believed on him, who got him on the inside, you go witness, and you ain't witnessing. Right. I thought the love of God loves folk. And if the love of God is in you, you can't stand to see somebody that you know on your way to, on their way to hell, and you don't say nothing to them.
Yes, sir.
If God is in you, you got to be saying something. You need to be sharing some life that's in you with somebody. If God is in you, come on. Come on, bring this thing on. You need to realize, because I ain't letting you go to hell without knowing why you're going. If he died, I'm repeating myself, so that men might be saved. And then he called out those who he put his power in. He put his life in. He put himself in. And you ain't got no desire. And you go to go. You see him on the way to hell in your school. You see him on the way to hell on your job. You got some going to hell in your family. You got some going to hell. You're passing on the street. And you walking by and you ain't got no feeling for him. Maybe you ain't got none of God that you claim you got in you. Maybe that's the reason your life ain't increasing.
Yes, sir.
Listen to what I'm telling you. If I got any Jesus in me, I can't help but to preach. Because that's what he called me to. I can't help but to talk about Jesus. Because that's what's in me. Some of y'all, you're talking about, let me tell you about what happened with my grandbaby. Let me tell you about what happened to my child. Let me tell you what happened on the job. Let me tell you what Sadie did. Let me tell you, gossip, 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 gossip. You got something in you that you need to be sharing. And that's the life of God that's in you. You need to be telling that to everybody that's on the way to hell. You need to be telling them. Now, let me ask you this question. I did it before, Sister Smith, you remember it? There's fire that break out around the back. And it started to come around the side of the building. And you see the fire. But some of the folks sitting up in the church sleep. Preacher preaching, but they sleeping. And you see the fire. You see the flames coming this way. And what do? Because you don't want to wake nobody up and offend them, you get up and you say, what would you have to say about a person who saw the fire coming and wouldn't tell nobody? What would you say about them? Is that somebody that loves somebody? Your family is in the house and the fire has started. Your children sleeping and your wife or your spouse on the other side of the room, and you crawl out the bed because you don't want to get burned up and you don't want to wake them up because they're resting in their peacefulness, and you get on up and you go on out the house.
Yes, sir.
What would you say something about somebody like that? That's what you're doing because you know the truth. And every person that you meet that you don't share about Jesus, they're on the way to hell and you smiling because you don't want to upset them. Well, let me tell you what God got to say about you in Ezekiel. I want you to know what God got to say about this thing. Come on, catch up with me right now. Ezekiel 33:7. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word. Say, guiding light, I have made you a watchman for the city. And they say, hear the word and I speak. It's so hear the word I speak and give them a warning for me. 8. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die. When is a person going to die? Let's go back through them again. You die when you don't do what God say to do. And you die when you do, now I reversed it, what God said not to do. So that's real simple. He said, accept Jesus and live. Don't accept Jesus, reject him and die. When I tell the wicked man, you shall die, and how he's going to die, and you do not speak out, don't cry out, don't say something to dissuade him from his ways. Now check this out. That wicked man will die for his sin, and guess what? And I'm going to hold you accountable. Guiding Light, we are being held accountable for everybody we pass on the street that we have a chance to talk to, and we don't tell them about Jesus, and they wind up in hell. Because we want to be politically correct. Read that for yourself. This ain't me. He said, when I tell the wicked man he's going to die, and you don't speak out to try to tell him something, I'm going to hold you accountable. See, I'm trying to tell you how to share life.
Yes, sir.
He said, I'll hold you accountable for the blood, his blood. Go on, verse 9. But if you do warn him, make him uncomfortable, bother him a little bit, and you warn him to turn from his ways, and he doesn't do it, he's going to die for his sin. But this is the beautiful part. Whoa, I love it. But you will have saved yourself. What's that mean, save myself? That means for everybody I witness to about Jesus, I'm saving myself. I'm saving myself when I'm talking to you about Jesus. How am I saving myself? What is salvation? Salvation. You know what I'm doing? When I tell you about Jesus, I'm doing what God said to do, right? And you know what? When I do what he said do, we've already learned, when I do what he said do, I increase. So the more I tell folk about Jesus, the more I increase. Maybe some of us are living the status quo and life ain't getting no better because we ain't telling enough folk about Jesus. And I'm sick and tired of y'all telling folk about, y'all need to come to my church. What church you go to? Come from your church, come on to my church. Let's church swap. We need to stop that mess. We need to realize there's enough sinners out there that we need to be going to instead of robbing churches.
Yes, sir.
Sisters in one church calling sisters in another church. Come over to my church. Come visit my church. Why don't you tell some of them folk on the street come to your church? Guiding Light, why are we picking at folk down at Worship Center, Word of Life, over Hillcrest, whatever house, First Baptist, First National, it don't matter. Why are we going to churches when we got folk on the street that don't know about Jesus going to hell?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're going to save somebody, share the life that's in you.
Yes.
Go ahead, Doc.
I got one more thing, and I got to hurry up and do this. Told you about John. What makes John so special? Because John's the one that wrote this. Help me out, Charles. 20th chapter. Is it, where am I going? The first one, before he gets there. John 20 and 30. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in his book. But why you write this, John? So that you might believe. John wrote that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Told you John died a natural death. Told you John wrote the book of what? Come on, hold on with me for a minute. Maybe there's a reason he got revelation from God. Maybe there's a reason God gave him more than he gave somebody else. Maybe the reason is because he was telling folk about how to get saved. Not just telling folk about good rules, telling them how to prosper, telling them how to do well. He was telling them how to have real life. And maybe that's the reason he's the only one that could write the book of Revelation. And you keep asking for revelation. Maybe revelation comes when you start telling somebody about Jesus. Because you don't need no revelation for yourself. You need revelation for others. And John, tell me, that's all I need to tell you about what John got, because he wrote that book. Here it is in 1 John 1 and 3, which is also right here. The other thing is here. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. The contemporary English version puts this away. We are telling you what we have seen and heard. John was so interested in telling the gospel That's the reason John got revelation. That's the reason John was called beloved. You want revelation? You want to be loved of God? Then go out here and do the thing that God wants you to do most of all. Go to the ones that are dying and on their way to hell and give them life. Share life with them. That's how you get beloved of God. When you go tell somebody who's going into the kingdom of hell, tell them and snatch them from the pit of hell and bring them into the kingdom of God. That's how you get God to love you. You know why God will love you more? Because he's so loved. He died for them folk. I don't want to be around that old silly thing. I don't want to be around that girl. I don't want to be around. I don't want to do that. Tell them so the blood won't be on you. Tell them so that your life gets better. The more you tell, the better your life is. Look at what happened with John. That's what happened with him. So I tell you this thing, share life. Share life so that your life is better. Share life. And notice this, the word of Jesus compels you to be obedient to him and to the mission he sent you on. He's giving you the power of his Holy Spirit so you can do it. And we got to learn to be obedient, to share the life that is in us with others. If you will share life, God will share life with you. Watch this. Is it not written in his word that give and it shall be given unto you? Whatever a man sow, that shall he also reap. So if you give life, what comes back to you? You start telling people about Jesus, which is the word of God, which is life, then life comes back to you. Choice driven. What choice are you going to make? Come on, musicians, let's get back up here right now. Know this, that the eternal destiny, man's eternal destiny with God or without him, it rests in our hands. Men and women that you meet on your job, that you see at the Burger King, at the McDonald's, in the restaurant, the people that you see at the game, the people that you see when you're in the club, those folk, many of them don't know Jesus. So what, they get upset with you? It's better to get them upset with you than to have the wrath of God against you because you let them go to hell and you didn't open your mouth. It was a little difficult for me to tell them. I made it difficult to see if you love me enough. If you love me, keep my commandments. But Pastor Sean, he seemed to be doing pretty good. I love you enough. And I made it difficult for you to speak that word to see if you love me enough. Because I got a blessing on the other end of your obedience to me.
Yes, sir.
For everyone you save, I got a reward for you.
Yes, sir.
You know why? Because I died for that person. All I ask you to do is live and share life.
Yes, sir.
Come on, guiding light. This world ain't gonna never get no better. It ain't gonna get no better as long as us Christians don't say nothing.
Amen.
We let them take the prayer out to school. We let them bring on abortion. We let them talk about taking out in God we trust. We let them talk about doing a whole lot of stuff that's wrong, and we ain't said nothing. It's about time we stand up. We need to be radical Christians. We need to stand for the Muslims blowing themselves up, talking about for Allah. And we can't even open our mouth for Jesus. Share life. I give you something. This ain't black power. This God power. I give you something. The power of God is in me. The power of God is in you. Now share that power. Share the power of life that you have within you and be a blessing. And if you will be a blessing, then you will get a blessing. Stop going for the blessing first. Bless somebody with Jesus, and then God will give you life increasingly, abundantly, more than you could ever imagine. What you waiting on? I want all y'all to have a band. I've been wearing mine for all this week. Deacon Boyd gave it to me, I think it was on Monday, and I've been wearing it since then. I would to find out if it was hard to wear, because I ain't going to ask you to do nothing I couldn't do.
Yes, sir.
Now, ain't none of y'all got no excuses, so Pastor ain't saying do what I say, not what I do. I ain't saying that. I'm doing it, and I'm holding my hand up showing you I'm proud of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of salvation, and I give you an opportunity. give you an opportunity. Get up on your feet. Let's go. Get ready to go. We ain't got nothing else to do. We might as well go home and share Jesus with somebody.